Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memories. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
They bring to me.
How I long once more to be.
Once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Well, good morning, everyone, and greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us go to the Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, once again, as we open your word, we're looking for the presence of the Holy Spirit to be with us, to give us the guidance, Father, that we need, and the strength, and take us in to the truth and the depth of this your word, Father, to help us to walk in thy kingdom here on this earth as we travel through. Because, Father, we know we are not of this world. We're just on a journey going through. On our way home, Father, we pray. Now, Father, be with us throughout the remainder of this day. Be in thy word. And we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Going to be talking with you this morning through John 19. We've been going through John. Now we've come up to actually start dealing with the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. All right, beginning with verse 1, chapter 19. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers planted a crown of thorns, put it on his head. They put on him a purple robe and said, "Hail, King of the Jews," and they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, "Behold him, I bring him forth to you, that you may know that I find no fault in him." Then came Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns, the purple robe, and Pilate saith unto them, "Behold the man." When the chief priests therefore and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, "Crucify him, crucify him." Pilate said unto them, "Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and by our law he ought to die because he made himself the Son of God. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid. Went again into the judgment hall and saith unto Jesus, Whence art thou? But Jesus gave him no answer. Then said Pilate unto him, Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee and have power to release thee? And Jesus answered, Thou could have no power at all against me except it were given thee from above. Therefore, he that delivered me unto thee has the greater sin. And from thenceforth, Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out, saying, If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh him a king speaketh against Caesar. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew, Gabbatha. And it was the preparation of the Passover, and about the sixth hour, he saith unto the Jews, Behold your king. But they cried out, Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him! Pilate said unto them, Shall I crucify your king? The chief priests answered, We have no king but Caesar. Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified. They took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Golgotha, where they crucified him and two others with him on either side one, and Jesus in the midst. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. This title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city. And it was written in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. Then said the chief priests of the Jews to Pilate, Write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am the King of the Jews. Pilate answered, What I have written, I have written. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garment and made four parts to every soldier, a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without, seeing woven from the top throughout. They said therefore among themselves, Let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, They parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots. These things therefore soldiers did. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciples, Behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her into his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. The Jews therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for the Sabbath day was a high day, besought pilots that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers and broke the legs of the first and of the other, which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. And he that saw it bare record, and his record is true. And he knoweth that he saith the truth, that you might believe. These things were done, that the scripture should be fulfilled. A bone of him shall not be broken. And again, another scripture saith, they shall look on him whom they pierced. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus. And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloe, about 100 pound weight. Then took they the body of Jesus and wound it in linen cloths with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new sepulchre, wherein was never man yet laid. There laid they Jesus. Therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulchre was nigh at hand. And may the Lord add his blessing unto the reading of this his word. And may the Holy Spirit now take us deeper into this scripture this morning. And once more, we give thanks and praise unto the Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And it's in Jesus' name that we ask this. Amen. All right. Now, we back up here. Just first verse. It says, then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. And you know, when we talk about being scourged, a lot of people don't really understand what that's all about and what it means. Now, most of us do. But there are those out there that don't. Even a lot of them that are sitting in churches don't really know and understand exactly what all that entailed. But, you see, scourging means whipping. In other words, he would give a beating, really. They call it a whipping, but it, come down to it, it's torture. It's a beating. Because that whip consisted of several strips, we today would call the cat and nine tails. But in those strips into which they were pieces of sharp bones were embedded, so it would cut into the flesh. They didn't aim to just put stripes. They wanted stripes, but they also wanted them to cut. Because they was going to punish him every way they could. And you know, here in verse 2, in verse 3. And the soldiers planted a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put on him a purple robe and said, Hail, King of the Jews. And they smote him with their hands. And you know, when we start looking at these things, we know that the crown of thorns It don't tell us what these thorns were made of. It just said a crown of thorns. But it don't, we don't know what kind of vine it came from, or tree or whatever. But we do know that thorns stick like a needle. And that had to bring blood and a lot of pain. Because we do know also that after he was crucified, they was even hitting him on the head with their staffs, which had to be driving those thorns deeper and deeper all the time into his flesh. But anyway, and this robe of purple, that was strictly to mock him. Because they, purple back then represented royalty. And they was dressing him royalty and calling him a king so they could ridicule him and shame him. And we're told that they even smote him with their hands. Well, back then, they didn't slap you. You was hit with a fist. And that had to be more pain and punishment right there. But you know, the greatest thing about that is, it is declared today that the Romans crucified him. That's not so. Really, the Roman people had nothing to do with it. There was only four Roman soldiers and Pilate himself. And Pilate tried four different times to get out of it because he couldn't find any fault with him. He ended up giving him that beating, and he ended up letting them have him to crucify him. And he sent four soldiers to do it because their law wouldn't let them crucify the man. And yet it was they that were hollering for it. Now, there in verse 4, we find, it says, Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, Behold, I bring him forth to you, that you may know that I find no fault in him. Once again, he's letting them know, I find no fault in him. But then then came Jesus there in 5:4, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate saith unto them, Behold the man. And when the chief priest, therefore an officer, saw him, they cried out, saying, Crucify him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, Take ye him and crucify him, crucify him. For I find no fault in him. Once again, he said, No, I find no fault in him. I don't want to crucify him. But they're not letting him get by like that. And it is the leaders of the synagogue. In that day and time. And the high priest, which is the main one in their belief and faith of that day. He's the one that rules and controls everything, and he's one of them out there hollering, crucify. You know, we're not told in the scripture what happens to them. But we can imagine, and we can do a lot of thinking, because we are told what the Word of God says about them. Now, he told them to take him and crucify him because he couldn't find no fault. Darren said, and the Jews answered him, we have a law, and by our law, he ought to die because he made himself the Son of God. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid. He's wanting a whole lot less now to do with his crucifixion than he wanted before. Verse 9, and went again into the judgment hall and saith unto Jesus, whence art thou? But Jesus gave him no answer. He's asking Jesus, who are you really? Jesus didn't give him an answer. And then said Pilate unto him, speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee, and I have power to release thee? But you know, I love this answer Jesus gave him. Jesus answered him there in the 11th verse, and he says, thou couldst have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore he that delivered me unto thee has the greater sin. And we're told there in that 11th verse that those Jews, that high priest and all, crying out to crucify him, that took him there too, Pilate, was in more trouble than Pilate was even in the eyes of Almighty God. Verse 12, and from thenceforth Pilate sought to release him. He's still trying to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, if thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar. Now they're trying to throw this back into Caesar's face, that he wouldn't be a friend to his own king, Caesar. And when Pilate therefore heard that saying, he bound Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement. But in the Hebrew, it's called Gabbatha. And it was the preparation of the Passover and about the sixth hour. And he saith unto the Jews, behold your king. He's still letting them know, you know, I really don't want nothing to do with this. But they cried out, away with him, away with him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, shall I crucify your king? The chief priest answered, we have no king but Caesar. They're denying the Son of God. 16, then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified, and they took Jesus and led him away. Now, who led him away? The Jews did. It wasn't the Romans. It was the Jews that led him away. And there was only 4 Roman soldiers with him. Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified. They took Jesus, led him away, and he bearing his cross went forth into a place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Golgotha. Now, where they crucified him and 2 others with him on either side, one, that Jesus and Jesus in the midst. In other words, they crucified him between 2 thieves and put him in the middle. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. And we know the Jews ain't gonna like this either. This title then read, many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city, and it was written in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. Three different languages Pilate had that wrote. Then said the chief priest of the Jews to Pilate, write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am King of the Jews. Pilate still, he ain't liking them at all, and a lot less even by this time. And Pilate answered them, what I have written, I have written. In other words, it's going to stay just like that. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garment and made four parts, to every soldier a part, and also his coat, how the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. We find there, it showed us how many soldiers they were. They were four. That's all the Romans that was there. Those four soldiers. And yet, even today, our churches talk about the Romans crucifying him. They didn't do it. The soldiers nailed him to the cross. That's all they done. But the reason he was put on that cross was by his own people. He was mocked by his own people. Now, we find they have divided his clothing and all up. But he had a coat that had no seams in it. It was all just one piece woven throughout. And they didn't want to tear it up, to split it up between them. And they said, therefore, among themselves, let us not rend it or tear it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, they parted my raiments among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots. These things, therefore, the soldiers did. Well, we know that it was written in the Old Testament about that very thing. In fact, it was written in Genesis, in fact, about that. And we just, a lot of times, don't think about these things. We put them out of our mind. We don't bring them with us. And we forget about all of the heartache, all of the pain that our Lord and Savior went through so you and I could have life through eternity with him, where we could have a body with no more pain, no sickness, no nothing that way. And he paid the price for all of it, the price that you and I would not have paid for the most part. We're finding today that most has come almost full circle, and they have denied him. They took him out of every place he was ever in our country. And where do they start? They start with our children, and we sit back and let them do it. So how much are we going to pay for that? We look around us and we see a whole lot going on that should not be going on, really. But we sit back and let it happen. we let one woman take prayer out of school that didn't even have a child in school. When they took a picture of her, it showed her daughter full grown, her and her daughter in a saloon, beer joint, drinking beer. And they let that one woman take Jesus out of our schools. Then they wasn't satisfied with just that. They took the Bible out too. And yet today, our schools are allowing Islam to be taught in our schools. And they can pray three times a day in our schools when our children can't. The Christian child cannot pray in school. And we're still setting back, letting it happen. Well, I just, you know, we're not supposed to mess in politics. I don't know where they got that from. That's not in God's word. And he warns us in his word how it would be when evil rule and how it would be when the righteous rule. And we are to pay attention to what's going on and to keep things according to God's word. But we're not doing it. We're setting back and just letting everything pass us by every day. I never know what day that they're going to knock on my door and tell me that I'm going to jail, because I will speak God's word. And I will stand on it. And they all know me, including the sheriff of this county. They know me. And I'm going to continue speaking the truth of God's word. Now, they casted lots for his vesture there. And we find that over in Genesis, it tells us that same thing, that he's going to do it here 400 years before it happened. John 25 says, now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. So Mary standing there, wasn't he? Maybe four women attended the crucifixion that were followers of his. And now, Jesus, even in that kind of shape, with that kind of pain, and the longer he's there, the more pain he's bound to be bearing, because more those places where those nails are has tore, and more raw they're getting, and they're bound to be very, very painful. And when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her into his own home. You know, that disciple that he's talking about here is himself. John. And you know, he doesn't tell us here what had happened to his earthly dad, Joseph. Where was he at? Had he already passed away or what? We don't know, really. Now, 27, or 28, rather. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth. They couldn't even give him a fresh drink of water. They had to give him vinegar to drink. But that also had been prophesied back in Isaiah. Now, but you know, when they done that, and Jesus had received it, here in 30 says, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. When he says it is finished, what do most of us think about? Only his death. Right? That's what most of us think about. But that wasn't really what he was talking about. It is finished. You know, everything now is completed. His work on this earth was complete. He had fulfilled everything his Father sent him to do. He had fulfilled the law, and he was establishing the church age now and had made way for mankind to make heaven their home by just making a decision and living that decision out. And that was to serve him and the Father. We serve the Lord Jesus Christ by doing what the Father wants done. But we do this through Jesus. Everything has to go through Jesus. And it does both ways. You know, we ask God for something, and if God gives us what we ask for, he gives it to us through the name of Jesus, and it's brought to us by the Holy Spirit. We have all the fullness of the Godhead working for us and within us. That's why nothing can really stand against us when we've got our faith in Jesus. But our faith must be in him, and it must stand strong. Now, 31. The Jews therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was a high day, besought Paul that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. You see, crucifixion death took a long time. Hours on top of hours, because just mankind automatically, when it gets down to choking and hard to breathe, He's going to do everything he can to breathe. And they push up. They push up to get that chest opened up. We know Jesus was on that cross 6 hours. He was on there from 9 in the morning until noon, and from noon to 3 o'clock in the evening. That was mainly the Jewish time. But you know, and here they are. He's finished everything now and fulfilled the law. But still, even to bring him down off the cross, they're still going by the law. Because they was taking two down that wasn't quite dead. But they was breaking their legs. So they couldn't run off. They had to go ahead and die. But when they got to Jesus, 32 here tells us that then came the soldiers to break the legs of the first and of the other, which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they break not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. Both of those things were prophesied in Isaiah 400 years before it happened. And he that saw it bear record, and his record is true, and he knoweth that he saith truth, that you might believe. For these things were done, that the scripture should be fulfilled. A bone of him shall not be broken. And again another scripture saith, they shall look on him whom they pierced. Both of them. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus. There came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night, and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloe, about 100-pound weight. That's a lot of spices. That's a lot of expense. And today, no telling what that would bring. Then took they the body of Jesus, wound it in linen clothes with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in that garden a new sepulchre, wherein was never man yet laid. We know that this man from Arimathea, that sepulchre was his to be, for him to be buried in. He was given his own burying place to the Lord Jesus Christ. And there laid they Jesus, therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulchre was nigh at hand. It was close, and they could get it done before the Sabbath day. You see, you and I, we don't have that Sabbath day, really, to worry about. Because we are to live every day as the Sabbath day. Every day is to be lived for God. Our way of life should all be pointed toward nothing but the fulfilling of God's word in our life, so that we can be ready to meet him when he comes for the church. And we're not too far away from that. And mankind better straighten up, better be getting right with God, and quit playing games and thinking himself that he don't need the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's a lot of them out there thinking just that very thing. I can do it myself. I don't need nothing or nobody. All right. Now remember, we'll be back together, God willing, this evening at 6 o'clock. So until then, walk with God, He'll walk with you. We'll close now with prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, once again as we close your word, we thank you for your word, Father. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. And Father, your saints, wherever they are in the world, we ask the Holy Spirit to see to them, to keep them safe, keep them in health, and to see to all their needs. And for Jerusalem and Israel, we pray for peace for them. But even more so, Father, we pray for them to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah. Come out of that law. Move into the Lord Jesus Christ and under grace. Now, Father, this land of ours, the land that has brought so much evil upon its own people, doing away with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, taking him out of everywhere he was in. Father, we know he still has people here. Help us, Father, to reach mankind. Reach them with the gospel, Father. Let them know that there is more out there for them, that they do need more than just themselves. They need the forgiveness of their sins by the Lord Jesus Christ. They need to be accepted by Him, and they need to accept Him into their lives and to walk in the Spirit and with the Spirit. Father, to become a part of your family here on this earth. Help us now, Father. Now our prayer list, as each name, Father, is called, we ask you, touch them. Touch them in a mighty and great way. Fulfill whatever need they have, Holy Spirit, to keep them upon that straight and narrow way, that way of righteousness. Dennis Lee, James Taylor, Millie and Bobby Johnson, myself, Kenny Powers, Terry Coates, Mark Pavlik, Amy's husband Tom, Amy and Tom's young son Jacob, Dennis Breeden and his wife Tina, brothers in Christ there in Brandenburg. Touch them all, Father. Touch them in great and mighty ways, fulfilling whatever need they have. Pastor Smalls of the Glory Bound Church, Pastor Randy Johnson, that Church of God of Brandenburg, Meade County General Baptist Church, the pastors there, Pastor Don Hilton, Pastor Alan Thomas, Pastor Tony Galladay, Pastor Eric and his wife Jackie, that little Full Gospel Church of God there at Akron. Father, these churches, not only lighthouses, but make them a place of refuge, Father, to where those that are walking in darkness can go and find light, and that light being Jesus. And so they can become lights here in this world, Father, also, and to share the word of the gospel unto mankind. Now, Father, for my three pastor friends in Pakistan, Arun Islam, Barak Mishai, Zephron Iron, Father, these all, keep them safe, keep them in health, and see to their needs. Jimmy Embry, Sharon Mumbell and her mother, Sue and David Branson, Kelly Smith and his wife, Karen. Father, these all stand in need of a healing touch. Some are in need of a physical healing. Some are in need of a spiritual healing. Touch them, Father. Touch them in a mighty and great way. Bring them all to realize they need the Lord Jesus Christ and put them into church, Father. We ask all of this now in Jesus' name. Now, Father, this church is yours, not mine. I'm just an overseer. But, Father, make this church to be what you want it to be. We pray for it each and every day. Don't let it be closed again, Father. It don't need to sit empty. It's needed too bad in this county. Now, Father, be with us all. Bring us all back together again this evening at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless everyone.